It's good to have everyone here tonight, and we see there are some here tonight who weren't here this morning. We encourage you to follow your, to take your Bible and follow along, because tonight we're going to discuss, as I announced, the subject, blessings and curses. Blessings and curses. So take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm going to read a portion of that. Hopefully you read Deuteronomy 28, 29, 30. Also 27 would be good to read. But beginning at verse 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 28, the text says there, "It shall come to pass, that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these things, or these blessings, shall come upon, or come on thee, and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field, and blessed shalt be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee and thy storehouses, and all that thou settest thine hand unto, he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and shalt walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his seasons, and to bless all the work of thy hand. Thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord God shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and do them, and I shall not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them." Pretty clear, isn't it? "We'll be blessed beyond description, beyond anything they could imagine. If what? If they obey God." That's the point. But in the rest of the chapter, he lays out what's going to happen if they don't. And also, he continues that over into chapter 29 and 30. So we'll just read a little bit here of beginning at verse 15, just to see, get a feel for what he's telling them. And he said, "But if it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, but all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Curses shalt thou be in the city, and curses shalt thou be in the field. Curses shall thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, when thou goest, and when thou shalt, when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thy hand unto to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed them from off the land, and whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with the blasting, and with the mildew. They shall pursue thee until thou perish. So just a few verses here tell us the other side of it, doesn't it? So we see as God warns through Moses, he warned the Israelites that if they obeyed God, blessings would be granted, didn't he? So we read those blessings in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 4. We read those. And then, beginning at verse 15 through the remainder of that chapter, he describes what will be the opposite of if they don't obey God. It will be the very opposite of the blessings, the curses. Curses would come. And so we need to understand that these types of warnings still apply, don't they? So after these clear warnings, God urges them to make proper choice. So in Deuteronomy chapter 27, notice verses 9 and 10. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verses 9 and 10, it says, "And Moses and the priests and the Levites spake to all Israel, saying, Take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God to do his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day." Then in chapter 28, verse 47, chapter 28, verse 47, he said there, "Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all these things." So they were to serve God faithfully and joyfully. If they did, they would be abundantly blessed. So here we see where at least four requirements are made of Israel. Moses commands Israel to keep silent, that is, regarding their doings that were unauthorized, sayings or acts that they had not been commanded by God to do. We're to keep silence about anything that is not authorized in God's Word. So today the people of God must learn to leave their opinions out of spiritual things, mustn't we? Second, Israel is commanded to hearken to God's Word. People today are to be ready and willing and eager to hear God's Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Paul said, "To study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, right, we are handling it right, the word of truth." Third, Israel was to obey the voice of Jehovah God. Man's salvation today and forevermore depends upon our obedience to God. Fourth, Israel was to display the obedience out of a heart that desired and passionately wanted to do the will of God, as we read in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47. They were to serve with joyfulness, not with drudgery, but joyfulness. So the idea of serving God because this is one's individual honest desire to do so has been a reoccurring thought throughout God's Word. So God's blessings are ever more contingent upon our obedience to Him. And since we're under the new covenant, you know, the physical blessings come, but more focus is on the spiritual blessings, aren't they? And so man will be blessed with the forgiveness of sins as he or she obeys God's will. And to receive these blessings, man must be baptized into Christ and live faithfully throughout life. So the focus of the blessings that God promised to Israel were more physical. But we have to be obedient to God in order to receive the spiritual blessings. So after these clear warnings, God urges them to make the proper choice. And over in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 through 20,
Moses said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. So tonight we just want to look at some blessings and curses that we find in the New Testament. There's both sides to these things that we're going to talk about. So we're going to look at blessings and curses. So we're blessed, as Israel was, we're blessed if we hear God. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 6, the text is there, blessed are your eyes, he told his disciples, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. So when we see God's truths and hear them and obey them, we'll be blessed. But there are those who are not blessed, those who heard not. If we hear not God's word, if we disregard God's word, if we disobey it, we'll be destroyed. In Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 22, Moses truly said to the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God rise up, or raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. He said, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he say, shall say unto you. It shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed, referring to Jesus, shall be destroyed from among the people. When we reject the words of Christ, then his word will judge us, and we'll be destroyed. We'll lose our souls, won't we? Then we're blessed if we believe God. We become the sons of God. Jesus said in John chapter 1, verse 12, he said, but as many as have received him, that is Jesus, in other words, obeyed him, believed him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Remember and recall what Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 16. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned or damned. We see both sides, don't we? Then repentance. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, when Paul addressed Corinth and commended them for taking the action he told them to take, over in 1 Corinthians 5 concerning the man who had committed incest, he said, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. The worldly sorrow is not the type of sorrow that brings one to repentance before God, but godly sorrow brings about repentance. So evidently this man repented of what he was charged with. But if we don't repent, we'll perish. Jesus said in Luke 13, 3 and 5, that except you repent, shall all likewise perish. So repentance is key. You know, there are a lot of error talks concerning marriage and divorce. And many of these theories that men have to try to justify unscriptural marriages just kind of wash away repentance, don't they? Just do away with it. Regard it. Disregard it. But we can't disregard it. See, if we confess, we'll be confessed by Jesus before his Father. If we deny him, we'll be denied before him. He said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. So Jesus, confessing that he knows us, what higher regard could he have for us? But what lower regard could we have if he denies us? He said in the next verse, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. So there's blessings in confessing Christ. There's curses in denying him. Then we're blessed if we obey. I mean, that's clear by what Moses wrote, isn't it? And in Luke chapter 11, verse 28, he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of the Lord, or the word of God, and keep it. So we'll be spiritually blessed. We'll be Our souls will be saved if we obey God's word. Then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 7, Paul enumerates and talks about those who were troubled by persecution. But he said, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, their envy." He said, "He shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." So blessings in obedience, curses in disobedience. Something to remember. Then if we're a doer of the word, we'll be blessed. James said in James chapter 1, verse 22-25, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only." We can't just say and do not. We must do what we're commanded to do. He said, "Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in the glass, for he beholds himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, that is one who looks in God's word, which is a mirror of the soul, and makes the corrections that need to be made." Here we all look in a mirror. Why do we look in a mirror? Comb your hair right, you know, put your makeup on, see if you miss a spot when you're shaving, and to see if there's anything that needs corrected, don't we? We're to look in God's word. That's the mirror of our souls. Or to make a correction. He said, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." So, abiding or doing God's word, being a doer, not just a hearer, shall be blessed. Then Jesus said over Matthew chapter 7, when he taught the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Blessings and cursings. Got a few more for you. Quite a few there, right? Alright, that's the next page. Now we're blessed when we're in Christ, aren't we? Those that are in Christ become new creatures. We saw that this morning. Paul said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." We put off the old man and put on the new. We're walking in the words and direction of Christ's word. We're not involved in impurity and sin and error. We're involved in promoting God's word and living by it. But if we're out of Christ, we're hopeless. Paul told the Ephesians that at that time you were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant promise, and having no hope and without God in the world. So those who are not in Christ, they have no hope. None at all. All we can hope for is if they obey God. So hope is in Christ, isn't it? All spiritual blessings are in Christ, aren't they? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And then Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, he said, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." He said, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." So we're all spiritual blessings in Christ, not out of Christ. There's no spiritual blessings out of Christ. There's no hope for those who are aliens from God's company. So, when we're in Christ, there's all sorts of blessings. I'll just mention a few. Turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Paul said there, he said, "Being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Redemption. Forgiveness of sins is in Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1,
Romans chapter 8, verse 1, Paul said, therefore, there therefore is no condemnation in them which are in Christ. When we're walking in Christ, we're approved of God. We're justified. We're not condemned. He says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then, in verse 2, he said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. So we have life in Christ. We have spiritual life in Christ. In verse 39 of that chapter, he says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So when we're in Christ, we have God's love, don't we? And then in chapter 9, verse 1, he says, I say the truth in Christ. So the truth lies in the words of Christ, his apostles. And Paul said, I lie not, my conscience also bearing or hearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. So the truth that he spoke will bring one into Christ. See, regarding worship, we must worship in spirit and in truth. True worship is accepted, isn't it? So many today worship. Many today worship in vain, though, unfortunately. But in John, we see where John talks about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And so we're to worship him. He said, but the hour cometh, when he's talking to the woman at the well. He said, the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So our minds must be focused on our worship. We must be mentally involved in worship. Our worship must be according to revealed truth. We talked about instrumental music last week, and we listed all the verses that support instrumental music. That should be easy to remember. How many were there? Not one, was there? Not one. About 13 that support music in the form of vocal music, singing. See, those who are entertained, I'll say, by choirs, by praise bands, and the like, their worship is vain. Jesus warned of vain worship, will worship, vain worship. Worshiping to please ourselves is what will worship is all about. And Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9, he says, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, but in vain do they worship me. They worship him, but vainly. He did not accept their worship, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Also the Colossians in Colossians 2, beginning at verse 20, he said, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Like ordinances of men, he says, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concerning things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but are not, or of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. So will worship, Paul condemned. Then, if we mortify the deeds of the body, that is, if we put to death the lust of the flesh, control them as God would have us, then we shall live. He says, for if ye live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. See that difference? There's both sides to it there. We're blessed if we mortify or put to death the deeds of the body. We get the word mortician from that word. Mortician is one who deals with the dead, or put to death the lust of the flesh. If we live after the flesh, we'll die, Paul said in that same verse.
Then if we sow to the Spirit, we'll reap eternal life. Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8, Paul said, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. God's Word will come back and condemn us. God is not mocked. He said, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So there are many today who are sowing the seeds of bad health, physical ruin, broken families. Why? Because they planted the seed, didn't they? They're sowing what they reap. He said, for he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. So what are we seeking to reap? Corruption or life everlasting? And then James said in James chapter 3 that we're to endure temptation. He says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. It's not a sin to be tempted, it's a sin to yield to that temptation. He said, but when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. You know, and find that when he's tried and tempted and he overcomes that temptation, he doesn't succumb to it, then he'll receive eternal life. He said, what the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Has the Lord ever backed out in one of his promises? Never has he? He's never backed out of a promise to bless us or bless any of those he promised to bless or to render wrath to those he promised wrath to because of disobedience. So we can endure temptation. If we do, we'll receive the crown of life. And then on the outside of that, if we yield to temptation, well, like Jesus spoke of those who were caught up in the rock, they fell away. They had no root. He says, they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in the time of temptation they fall away. Ever known someone like that? Who are real ambitious when they first obeyed the gospel? And that ambition, that zeal, fades away. And what happens when they're tempted? They fall away. Blessings and cursings. A few more, and the lesson is yours. Now we need to be cognizant of being righteous. And because God hears the righteous, does he, when we pray? He said, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. We can't expect God to hear our prayers if we're involved in doing evil. He will hear us if we repent, if we truly repent and come to him in confession and come to him on bowed knees and render to him, as the Hebrew writer talked about, come to that throne of grace in time of need. But he does not hear the evil, as Peter says there in that same verse. Those on his right hand will be blessed. He will say, to those on his right hand, and Jesus mentioned this when he's talking about him being the king and judging all nations. He said, to those on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And he listed the things that would render one to be righteous, all those benefits and duties that we have towards our physical brethren. What about the other side of it? Verse 41, he talks about what those will hear who did not do his will. He said, then will he say to them on the left hand, the goats, the sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Blessings and cursings. Then if we obey, we'll receive and be restored the tree of life, which was lost in the Garden of Eden. And in Revelation chapter 22, verse 14, John said, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, may enter in through the gates of the city. But if we don't do that, then we're like those that are outside of the gates of the city, are described in the next verse, aren't they? Notice. He said, for without are dogs, not four-legged dogs, but two-legged dogs. The dogs And the scripture is always used in a negative sense, usually. Isn't it? Remember, he said, don't cast your pearls before dogs and swine. We're in Matthew chapter 7. And so we see where he said, for without, that is, without the gates of the city, are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loves them maketh a lie, those that are defiled. In Romans chapter 16, 6 verse 16, brother, he says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants you obey, the servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death. So who do we serve? Do we serve sin, which will lead to death, or do we obey God, which leads to righteousness? He says, or of obedience unto righteousness. And then in verse 23, he said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So this is just a simple illustration of a contrast between blessings and curses that we read about in the New Testament. Because as those in the Old Testament denied and disobeyed God and were punished, those in this day and age, in the Christian age, will be punished as well, won't they? So, in conclusion, who are you, or what are you choosing? Are you choosing blessings or curses? Remember Joshua, what he chose, remember that? Joshua said over in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, he said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. One of the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood are the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So what are we going to serve? Who are we going to serve? God or our own selves? We must serve God in order to receive the blessings that He's promised us. Because if we don't, we'll receive the curses that He has promised us as well. So that's a lesson that we encourage you to think of these things, because these are very important, simple illustrations I thought would be good for us to look at. And so as we are closing this evening's lesson, let us remember that alien sinners must hear God's word, obey it, believe it, repent of their sins, confess Christ, and be baptized in water for the remission of sins. And erring children of God must repent and pray, realizing that God is faithful and just forgives those sins, and to cleanse from all unrighteousness if we confess our sins. And then as Christians, we must live faithful unto death so we can receive that crown of life and receive those blessings that He has promised. During your way subject to the Lord's invitation, we urge that you think on these things and stand and sing as we are led by sin. Shall we stand while we sing?